Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Satsang radio program is for, believe it or not, Saturday, July 25th, 2015, as the year just rambles by really fast. Never believed that when I was younger, you know, how people who are older like I am now would say the days just go so fast. And boy, is it true. Some of us, though, are very busy in those days. So I am grateful to be with you in these busy days of my life and very grateful to be able to share with you some really great questions. And we're going to be talking about belief today, as I have picked four very interesting questions from people who have been kind enough to share with us what it is that's on their pee picker, their mind. And wow, you're going to get a kick out of this. This satsang is available to you as a gift due to the loving kindness of my sponsors who make this possible and our mystery donor who has paid for the year. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that we are able to offer you these programs, and I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain this satsang and help us, well, keep the ball rolling, as it were, to serve humankind. And that's what this is all about. So please understand, it is by the hand of some loving people that made this program possible for you. Let's talk about belief. First one comes from Samuel, and he just says, in the Midwest and listens to our programs here on aspire.org, as well as watching my TV programs. And Samuel, I want to thank you for your kind words about the programs. He says, I believe in God. Is this counter to your teachings, Samuel? Samuel, I have no teachings. I have merely suggestions, and you must forgive me if they sound like they are teachings. They are not meant to be. I don't want you to be taught. I want you to be caught. I want you to be caught by love. I want you to be caught by consciousness. I want you to be caught in silence. In the depth of your silence, in the depth of your being. And if I sound like a preacher, or if I sound like I'm teaching you anything, it is only because I'm not a very good teacher and I'm not getting this across to you. This is why I always ask for people to forgive me. Because I am not a perfect person and I am not a perfect teacher. So all I can say to you is, first of all, I want you to understand, when a person is teaching you anything, they're conveying thoughts, ideas, and ideals. They're trying to convert you. And they do it through trying to make sense via this and via that. Samuel, I am not trying to do that. What I am doing is giving you some insights that have come from my direct experience. I am nothing special in this world. I am nothing out of the ordinary. I am none of those things. I am simply a man who, like any other putz male, stumbles through his life looking at this, that, and the other, trying to decipher, is there any meaning here? Is there any substance here? There's got to be a pony down here somewhere. So that's my premise. And you must understand it, because if you don't understand it, you will think I have some sort of quasi agenda with you. And I don't have an agenda. I am not trying to teach you teachings. I am just sharing with you methods that I have learned that have helped me immensely. That's all. Nothing less. So you say, I believe in God. Is this counter to your teachings? Well, since I have no teachings, your belief in God is not counter to anything that I am trying to share with you. But I would like to explore the idea of belief. What does it mean to believe? How do we believe in something we have never had the direct experience of? Or if we have had the direct experience of something, how do we categorize it in human thinking? Now, understand, the Gregory part of me is a mechanism. The Samuel part of you is a mechanism, purely a mechanism. It is something that is derived out of DNA and genetics. It's chemistry. We think that we're in love with a person when the chemistry is right in us, when the testosterone and the estrogen meet at a certain place, and all of a sudden attraction occurs, and blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, that. And we get very caught up in the whole thing. This is the way we live, as a reaction. We live as a reaction to the mechanism we live in. The mechanism I live in is Gregory. All of this genetic stuff from Ed and Jean and his great grandparents on both sides and all that is coming into play at all times. So, with all of this, there can be no direct experience of anything outside the mechanism. What I am suggesting to you is, from my direct experience, is that there is a way to have something happen to you that is beyond the genetics and the DNA of all of us, that is beyond the ideas and ideals of what we believe in as right and wrong and good and bad and truth and non-truth, that there is something going on, something beautiful going on that is beyond the concepts that Gregory can absorb or touch or be in. You say, I believe in God. Have you had a direct experience of God? One that shatters the mechanism of you? Because to have a belief in God and to have the direct experience of God are two different things. God is not a man. God is not a power like they want you to believe. Everybody's trying to put God into words. The God you can put into words is only a part of the mechanism that is Greg and Samuel. This is a terrible thing we do to ourselves. Greg is delusion and illusion. He is karma. He cannot understand what this whole thing is all about. He can only surmise. He can only guess. He can only convince. He is always in the process of trying to convince himself into what he thinks he believes in. And because he does that, and because he lives as such, he destroys the elements of his life and the meaning of his own existence. So, it isn't important to me that you believe in God, Samuel. It isn't. You can believe in the tooth fairy for all I care. You've never seen the tooth fairy. Do you believe it? You think you see God in nature, etc., etc., but what if there's more? There was recently an article in Science Magazine, very interesting article about dogs, and I'm a dog lover. I am owned by a dog, and the whole article is about the chemicals inside the dog that makes the dog appear to our chemicals as though it loves us, and it isn't about that at all. Ooh, boy, am I not going to be popular. It is about something else. It's chemicals. It's a chemical reaction. In his mechanism, in my mechanism. And we come to conclusions about the idea, oh, my dog loves me. I know you want to believe your dog loves you, and I'm not going to dispel that. And I know there's Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, and a lot of other things. The hard truth and fact of everything supplants our beliefs and our Candyland mentality that we have. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But it is not what you think it is. It is not what I think it is. It is not the way you want it to be. It's not the way I want it to be. But it is what it is, what it is. So, my dear one, when you start talking about belief in God and all that stuff, you're not furthering yourself in consciousness. This is the pedestrian mentality at work within me and thee that makes us believe that certain people are good and certain people are bad, and this is what a bad person deserves, and this is what a good person deserves. This is why there is no forgiveness. There is no compassion. This is why we can do some terrible things to other people in the name of just being honest and truthful, when we're not being honest and truthful at all. We're being mean-spirited and angry. We're seeking vengeance. I've heard it all, the reasons for vengeance. Well, you wouldn't want that to happen to someone else, so I'll tell you what happened to me. Blah, 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 blah. It just gets ugly, really ugly. And you know, it's just the way we are as human beings. We like the ugly. It makes us feel good on the inside. But there you go, my dear one. I'm going to leave this to you. You need to decide what you're going to believe in and what your God is and what is all of that. You're going to need to maybe look at belief from another point of view. To me, the word belief is far more important than the kind of standard definition I give it from the point of view of my preferences and my mental and emotional state, which is basically my weaknesses. So you have to decide. I am not here to tell you what to believe in. I am not here to give you teachings that you should believe in. I'm here to share with you that which has happened to me and how it happened to me. And maybe I can help you in that. And maybe I can't. And if I can't, I can't. But I'm putting it out there to be of service to humankind. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. That's a great question from Samuel. Very interesting. People think that if they have the religious jargon, that they understand. And they put together two and two and come up with 12 or 13 or 15. Then they think they've got a great idea. How do you reach people? It's really hard to reach them. They're so cluttered with belief and anticipation and ideas and moral fibers that really aren't moral at all. I've seen people say moral things but do such immoral acts. It just surprises me, in the name of morality, that they believe in. It's really interesting. Next one comes, let me see, who is this? Ryan, if I believe, can I make it so in my life? This is what I've heard. Is this what Jesus meant when he said, as you believe, so shall it be? Ryan, can you make what happen according to your beliefs? If you have no belief, then everything happens naturally. Everything happens a la its due course. Everything occurs as it needs to occur. And it is not about changing anything. Water into wine. You know what I mean? Feeding the multitudes. Everybody thinks, wow, if you have that kind of belief, you can do all that. And if you believe, you can be rich. And if you can believe, you can be healed. And if you can believe, blah, 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 blah. Let's talk a little bit about belief. Most people see it as a state of mind. I do not. Belief comes with consciousness. When a person achieves consciousness, they believe. Their mind is different. A believer's mind is different from, let's say, our minds that are always analytical, theoretical, idealistic. So you want something to happen in your life, Ryan, that isn't occurring right now. So you have to ask yourself, How did I get here? How is it my life is in the state of whatever it is, what I call the this of my life? How did I get here? It was due to belief. Something you believed in. Maybe you believed in your DNA, in your genetics, in your chemistry, in your influences in the world. Maybe you believed in this, that, or the other. I don't know. Maybe someone said something to you that made you believe. But what if your life requires something that is outside the state of your belief? Now what do you do? Let's say you need a better job, more money. You need better health. What do you do when the state of your life exceeds the belief you have in your mind? Now what? And that's the real question I think you're asking me here. For me to have anything outside the territory of my thinking, my beliefs, I have to have a new mind. A mind that is not pitting one thing against another. A mind that is not pitting one thought against another thought. A mind that is different. It is not connected to emotionality, belief, or theory. It is a mind that is watching, not analyzing. It is a mind that is observing, not judging. Now, when we are in this, we fall into that which is consciousness. If you stay there long enough, meditatively speaking, you will fall into the depth of consciousness. It is in this consciousness that you will awaken, that you will find substance, meaning, and insight. You will no longer be held to what you were. You will no longer be held to what you're afraid of. You will no longer find that your life is consumed by desire, ambition, pride, hubris. You will start to see there is an intelligence in this life, in this world, that supersedes the perceptions, beliefs that I believe I am subject to, or that I should be subject to. This is a very important moment in a person's life. Very important. The state of understanding goodness is impossible. The presence of goodness in your life is not conceivable to the Ryan part of you or the Greg part of me. It simply exists. And here is the rub. It's like a fish in the sea telling another fish, we have to find water or we will die. You and I are already immersed in that water. You and I are already immersed in that loving goodness. I can't reach it through Gregory. I can only reach it through silence, through participation in meditation, to the point where I am no longer interested in my own thoughts. And that would include, of course, my own beliefs. And the less interested I am in my thoughts and my beliefs, the more captivated I will be by consciousness. And this consciousness changes everything. Ryan, don't use your belief to get what you want or what you think you need. What was it Jesus said? Your Father knows of your needs even before you ask. Let the goodness prevail in you. Find ways to live in that goodness without taking credit for it, without trying to make it happen. Be the goodness in your life you wish to see in your living. A simple Gandhi technique. Be the element, be the peace in the world you want to see in the world. If you do this, you will repent, you will change, you will grow, you will mature, You will be forgiven. Your life will be a matter of forgivingness. You will want to achieve forgivingness, and you will go to the people you've hurt if allowed and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes that is impossible with human beings, so you have to do it within yourself. But don't be surprised if people come to you who have hurt you and ask to be forgiven, and be quick to forgive and let go. It is the only way. And I am always open to that in my own life, and I hope you are in yours. I hope this helps you, Ryan. You ask a very powerful question that really deserves more time than I'm able to give you here. And if you're patient, I think you will find that I answer it in many different ways here in Satsang, through many different questions that are asked. Please forgive me. Namaste. Beautiful questions, huh? Last one comes from Ted in Cincinnati, Ohio. What if I believe in something good and my karma is not accepting of this or does not reflect this? Do I suffer my karma over my beliefs? Is a belief a way to change my karma? Ted. Boy, questions get complicated, don't they? I know what he's asking. If you have, quote unquote, and I'm using human terms here, if I have bad karma, can I overcome my karma through my beliefs and make good karma? That's what people want to believe. First of all, you have to understand the nature of karma is neither good nor bad. My karma, as Gregory, is what I energetically put into motion into my life. And sometimes you think, I am sure, that bad people, I get a lot of this, bad people, people who are unkind and nasty, get all the good stuff. And those of us who are innocent little lambs get all the poop. But that's really not the way it is. It just appears that way. There are those who get a lot of money and stuff, and it's called blood money and stuff. And they really, really pay out the spiritual rear end of this. I'm trying to be polite. They really pay out their ass for this, and it's not even worth it. And eventually it all catches up, because it all catches up with all of us. So let's just be blunt. Don't try to change your karma. Find it. That's the first thing. Find, what is my karma? What am I here for? And the only way you're going to do that is through meditation. You're not going to get that through contemplation, anticipation. You're not going to get it through fear or someone telling you what your karma is, because no one can tell you what your karma is. It must be obvious to you. You must see it for yourself. And once you do see it for yourself and you understand what it is and how it works, you will start to unfold. It isn't about circumstances. It's about that glass ceiling that is above me that won't let me go any further than where I am. And you think where you are is shown in the world. That's not it. It's shown in consciousness. To feel the state of your consciousness, to feel the state of let go, the state of spaciousness in you. You measure everything in your life through getting what you want, through emotionality. That is the wrong way to do it. The measure of a person's life is in the spaciousness that they live in from within themselves. And if you are spacious enough within yourself, you start to awaken. And you start to come to that place where awakening allows you to dissipate the fear, the hate, the anger. And that's when the karma starts working in another direction. It's not better and it's not worse. Everything is to bring us to love. Everything is to bring us to the meaning of love. And that's what the human life is all about, to bring you to the state of love. Ted, live in love at all costs to your beliefs. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, Ted. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can be of service to you in, just come up to the top of the page here on the Aspire website at aspire.org, and you will see contact. Just click on it. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. Have a wonderful day. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.